Just to underline my predicament and her own determination, Samantha turned and glared at me every few miles as we drove the long, depressing way to her home, back along Route 41 and then over Lejeune and into the Grove to the Aldivar's house. And just to remind me that even the worst joke has a punchline, when we turned down Samantha's street and approached her house, Deborah muttered, "Shit," and I hunched forward and looked through the windshield at what appeared to be a carnival in front of the house. "That goddamn son of a bitch," she said, and she smacked the steering wheel with the palm of her hand. "Who?" I said, and I admit I was eager to see somebody else take a little heat. "Captain Matthews," she snarled. "When I called it in, he got the whole fucking press corps here so he can hug Samantha and jut his fucking chin at the cameras." And sure enough, as Deborah brought the car to a stop in front of the Aldivar's house, Captain Matthews appeared at the passenger door as if by magic and reached in to help a still sullen Samantha out of the car as flashbulbs popped and even the horde of savage reporters murmured, "Aww." The captain flung a protective arm around her shoulders and then waved commandingly at the crowd to move aside and let them through. A truly great moment in the history of irony, since Matthews had summoned them all here to watch this exact moment, and now he was pretending he wanted them to leave him alone while he comforted Samantha. I admired the performance so much that for a full minute I only worried about my future two or three times. Deborah did not seem quite as impressed as I was. She trailed along behind Matthews with a wicked scowl on her face, shoving at any reporter foolish enough to get in her way, and generally acting like she had just been indicted for waterboarding. I followed the happy little group through the crowd until Matthews reached the front door, where Mr. and Mrs. Aldivar were waiting to smother their wayward daughter with hugs and kisses and tears. It was an extremely touching scene, and Captain Matthews played it perfectly, as if he'd been rehearsing for months. He stood beside the family group and beamed at them as the parents snuffled and Samantha scowled, and finally, when he could sense that the reporters were reaching the end of their attention span, he stepped in front of them and held up a hand. Just before he spoke to the crowd, he leaned over to Deborah and said, "Don't worry, Morgan, I won't make you say anything this time."
"Yes, sir," she said through her teeth.
"Just try to look proud and humble," he told her, and he patted her shoulder and smiled at her as the cameras rolled. Deborah showed him her teeth, and he turned back to the crowd. "I told you we would find her," Matthews told the crowd in a manly growl, "and we found her." He turned around and looked at the Aldivar trio so the reporters would get a shot of him gloating protectively at them. Then he turned back around and gave a short speech of praise for himself. Of course, there was no word about Dexter's terrible sacrifice, nor even Deborah's diligence, but perhaps that would have been too much to expect. It went on, predictably enough, for a little longer, but finally, the Aldivars went in their house, the reporters got tired of the captain's chin, and Deborah grabbed my arm, pulled me through the crowd to her car, and took me home.